Good, good, good. That's been around a long time. And I know that today all those old hymns now are considered just that, old hymns, out of step. You know, they are old school, just like I'm considered by a lot of them out there. I know that, I really am. I understand it. And yet, I say to any of them, at least it tells a story. At least it glorifies God and not the flesh. And it's like, oh, that's just sour grapes. I might be. I don't care. Because I listen a lot, it's the draw today. And I can't understand a word in it. Can you? I mean, I can't hear any words. It's just loud, banging, going. And what does that do? That gets you really socked in there. And he's going, God's going, am I in this? Is there any, you know, there's no word in this song that anybody can make out that's glorifying the Lord. And I love praise hymns and all that. I'm not saying that. And these hymns and all that. I like praise hymns. I like contemporary, but you can go too far and everybody's in the flesh. And here's one way to tell. If you know folks that go to a place and ask them, how are you when you come out of church? What do you mean? Well, what'd you get out of it? Oh, it makes me feel good. I just get in there and I just feel good. And it's like, and what did the pastor talk about? And what did the words in the song speak to you about? But it made me feel good. So does a bologna sandwich. Right? You know, I shouldn't have said that. That didn't make everybody feel good. For a lot of you, so does tuna casserole. For others of you, any casserole. How many of you really just like casseroles? Period. Just any casserole. Good, good. Just casserole people. We couldn't spell the word growing up. I didn't know what a casserole. Do you know I didn't know what a casserole was? Didn't know. No, we didn't. We just, you know, it's like nobody ever asked us what we wanted for breakfast, lunch, or supper. We never asked. All the years growing up, we never asked what we wanted for a meal. We got whatever was put on the table. And if you didn't like it, yeah. There sure wasn't, there wasn't a place to run to down the street. HEB wasn't there, and now it was Walmart or anything. So if you didn't like it, too bad. That's right. And you grow up that way, and you learn to be more adaptable, and you learn to eat. Because another thing that happened, too, it wasn't left out there for you. So when you got over your little fit, you could come back later. You come back later, that table's cleared. I mean, that was it, buddy. You eat it. That's why I don't like, huh? Well, yeah, that's what, force it on a poor child, can you believe that? Strap him down and poke tuna casserole in his mouth. Pardon? That's child abuse. Oh, that's adult abuse, animal abuse. It abuses the coyotes, possums, anything that eats it. For me, really, we didn't have any tuna casserole. We didn't even eat tuna. Isn't that amazing? There was no Mexican food, no Chinese food. We were really remote in those days out in the country. And so you just, when you had a hamburger, that was a treat. I still go to the same place. It's still the same deal. And drink my frosted root beer. Yeah. Drink my frosted root beer and have my cheeseburger. And they serve you frosted root beer with the frost on the mug. That's good stuff, you know. That's up in Graham, Texas. And anyway, why am I saying this? Don't forget your roots. In Christianity, don't forget your roots. Never forget where you've come from. No matter how much God blesses you, where how much you prosper, where you go, what you do, whatever success God gives you, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget to be humble and to remember people in their humble state. And so you say, does this lead to something? Right into the message. And that's over in Mark chapter 4. This is not rambling. I don't care for rambling. I don't want to hear it from somebody else, and I don't want to do it. But I like to lead in sometimes and say, this sets a stage, because there are some guys here that needed more faith, and they needed more humility. Listen to me. Listen. Faith. You're not going to arrive at the faith counter, the faith pedestal, the faith plateau, until you're humble enough to believe. And as long as we trust in ourselves, believe in our own abilities, have our own self-confidence, I can do this, I can handle this. There's things that God gives you the abilities to do. You should be able to say it. To do that, knowing that God, through me, will handle this. He's gifted me to do this. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. Right? There's an attitude. But things have to happen to humble us in life. And what happened here with these folks was twofold. First, they had to be broken of any pride, any self-sufficiency, and secondly, they had to be faced with their little bitty faith. As long as you think you can handle something, you're not exercising faith, and so humility must come. People don't teach this stuff. You know, and we've all done this, maybe I hope, and we've asked God, say, God, give me faith, give me more faith, strengthen my faith. And what happens? Things happen, and we say, I've heard people say, many people, over years of life, you know, don't ask God for faith if something will happen to test you. No, what's happening is, yes, it does. It's something's happening to humble you so you'll have faith. It's to break that flesh of saying, all about me, I can handle this. And so here, in this particular instance, we're not far into this little group of people that Jesus has picked for himself to be his disciples. And in Mark, and this is in Mark chapter 4, you have it up here in the NIV. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, now hear this, he said to them, he told them, let's go over to the other side. And they were all going around saying, hey, great, cool, yeah, man, okay. No, they didn't talk that way, anyway. So leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him, and a furious squall, big storm, came up, and the waves broke over the boat. So it was nearly swamped. So they're sinking, or they think they are. Jesus was in the stern. He was sleeping on a cushion. You ever feel that way? Seriously? This is in here to help us understand ourselves. You ever feel like your boat's sinking and he's asleep? That's why this happened. We have the same thing. The boat's sinking and Jesus is asleep. You ever feel like God's sleeping and he's not hearing a thing I'm saying? I'm about to die here. I'm going to go under here. This is it. This is the end. And you don't hear a word, and he's snoring. In our spirit, we feel that. This happens to teach us. He's here, right there, but he's asleep, and they're freaked out. They can't row against this anymore. The waves are coming in. Disciples woke him. They ran to him. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? What a question. And yet, isn't that human? Haven't you asked him that? Don't you care if I'm sick? Don't you care if I'm in financial stress here? Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care about my kids? Don't you care about my health? Be honest. If you didn't voice it, we thought it. Don't you care? Am I just one of the children of yours that you've set aside to show the rest of the world what not to be? You ever thought that about yourself? I'm the one God picked out to say, don't be like this person. And we feel all of a sudden that it's just all about us, and it's our fault. We did this. These guys are doing the best they can, but they had human emotions and feelings and fears and worries. And it scared them to death. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If I was in a boat and waves are coming into the boat, I'm going to be panicked a bit. Wouldn't you? And that water was probably pretty cold and not going to last long in it. And so what are you going to do? I'll tell you something here. Let me finish this. So don't you care if we drown? He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. That's what an event. And then the wind died down. It was completely calm. Now another translation says, and I think more accurately, really, it says peace, be still. Peace, be quiet. Peace, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And they still weren't getting it. They were fairly new in this thing and they just couldn't figure Jesus out. Well, let me ask you something. I know that some of you have been Christians most of us have been Christians a long time, but are there times, if you're real honest with yourself, that you sit down and say, I just can't figure you out. I don't know why you're letting the waves come in the boat here in this country, in Israel, and in this world. I don't know why you're letting everything just seem like it's sinking. Be honest. Friends, the waves are coming in our boat. We're facing really rough storms. Socially, politically, economically. And Matt, how about personally? I mean, what things are you facing? And so God, and let me hit this first point right here. Obedience to Christ holds a lot of surprises. And you're going to go, duh, well it does. When you obey Christ, you're in for a lot of surprises. When you say to him, I want to deny myself, take up my cross and follow you, just like your word says, if we all said that at one time or another, I want to be a good and faithful servant. And he says, good, get in the boat. Start rowing. Let's move on out here. There's another episode, I wanted to draw on this, but I won't, it takes too much time, you know, that where Peter walked on the water. But this time, Jesus is in the boat. We'll get to that other one. It's been a while since I brought a message concerning that. And this one here, Jesus in the boat. He says, let's do this thing. But he falls asleep, and they're doing the work. They had to row. And before you know it, doing exactly what he said with him in the boat. By the way, he's in your boat, isn't he? He lives in your heart. Your body is God's temple. Your body is the temple, living God, temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's always in your boat. But we forget he's in our boat. You see, we start calling out to God like we're trying to pull him down from heaven. And that's the mode and posture that he's above us and all that. But we forget he's living in here. He's chosen me to live in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, if you'll come, let me come in. I'll come in and sup with you. I'll be intimate and personal and dine with you and be with you. He's in us. So everything we go through, he's feeling it. Everything that we feel, he feels what we think. He's looking at saying, I know your thoughts. I know your feelings. What? You want to hear it again? If it matters to you, thank you. Don't forget it. If it matters to you, it matters to God. He's right there. He's with you. So here they are. And just note this first point. Obedience to Christ holds a lot of surprises. And it's never going to be, seldom ever, what you think. He told the disciples to get in the boat, go to the other side. God will tell you to go. He just doesn't tell you what's going to happen on the way there. And that's where we get into all of these trials and struggles. That's where all of this happens. And we don't know what's happening. We get confused and frustrated. And we say, what have I done? Why is God allowing this? You see, they did it. They did what he said. But what did it look like when they got about a mile from the shore out there? What did it look like? A mistake. Have you in your life ever thought that whatever you're doing, that Lord's told you to do, wherever you're headed, whatever you're doing, joining a church, doing anything, making a purchase, it doesn't matter. Have you ever looked at it and things started happening and said, I made a mistake? You meet someone in friendship or whatever and things are looking a little sour and the waves are coming in, you think, I made a mistake. Even with Jesus in the boat, do you think that there were questions floating around there? It doesn't say their personal conversation. But what would you have been saying? Did we hear him right? Are we sure he said this? He's asleep in that boat, but you forget where he's at. Listen, when crisis comes, often the first thing we do is forget where Jesus is. And we see ourselves isolated and all alone. They forgot he's in the boat. All they're seeing is what? The wind and the waves coming in. Isn't that what we do? Is that where you are now? That's where this country is right now. We're seeing the wind, we're hearing the wind, and we're seeing the result of it, the waves coming in, and we're forgetting that Jesus Christ built this country. He's here. He knows what's going on. This is not a political sermon. This is God's word. I'm in the boat. Don't run around panicked and screaming we're going to drown because I'm in the boat. I know exactly what's going on. I'm aware. I've always been amazed at... He just got up and did what they asked him. But he's not like us. He's certainly not like, you know, I've got a lot to go being like him, but a long ways to go. But I'd have been a little more sarcastic with him, you know. Get up, Tony. You know, you got to do something. The boat's going to sink. And it's like, you think I'm going to drown with you? I'd have been a little bit, hey, you think I'm just going to lie here and drown? You little, you know, faithless little bunch of squirts. I might let the waves come in to test you, but I'm not going to go down with you too. I'm here, remember? And they forgot something else. And listen, you need to remember this. Even if the waves come in and your boat sinks, he's in the boat and he will float you on a cross. My goodness, he took Peter by the hand and walked him on the water. Maybe sometimes the boat that we're in has become such a little security vessel we need it to sink. Maybe whatever you've gotten so attached to in life needs to go under. Sometimes God will just let that very thing happen and we're freaked out and we go into depression and we can't handle it. And he's saying, man, I needed you to get rid of that boat. Well, in this case, it didn't go down. So let's just learn these things. They did everything they're supposed to do. It looked like a mistake. You can do everything right. Listen to me. Listen, not me. Don't hear me. I don't want to hear me. You want to hear what God says. Listen, you can do everything right and righteous, and it can still look like you missed it, and you missed the boat. You're in the wrong boat. They obeyed Jesus. They did what they were told. A mile or so out, they began to run into a lot of trouble and have a lot of doubts. You know, it just seems so simple. Just row across. Just row across. And then the storm. And if to, you know, accentuate this and to make it at 3:30 in the morning, I'm jerking awake out there and I couldn't figure, and hail is just slamming off my roof. There's nothing like hell on a tin, you know, remember cat on a hot tin roof? There's nothing like hell on a cold tin roof. Sounds like machine gun bullets, you know, blah, 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 across there. I don't like the feel of it, and I can't sleep when the lightning's flashing and the thunder's going. It just there's things there that I just can't sleep. I've got to know. And that wind wouldn't stop. And then I thought, I have to preach. God wants me to bring a message for him. He wants to use me to bring a message on this storm at sea. Thank you. 3:30 in the morning to add a little emphasis to this. Storms bother me. They always have. I can't sleep when it's storming. It just reminds me of too many things. My dad could never sleep. We had a cellar. Anybody ever have a cellar growing up? Yeah, run to the cellar when storms came. My dad, I mean, it just started lightning in the west where we grew up. Just start lightning flashing, a little bit of thunder, and he'd get the kids up. This is my sister and I. You kids, get in that cellar. Cellar was outside. He had to run outside, go down. I didn't know it till years later what it was. God revealed it to me. Because I never could figure out why Dad was so frightened of that. And then one of my uncles was talking to me, and he brought up Bastogne, and he brought up, you know, the Battle of the Bulge, and it hit me. It was like God just showing me. He said, your dad never got over that. He was in the 106th Infantry Division, and that entire division was just almost decimated. The few stories he told me about running and firing, and they run as fast as they could because it wasn't just infantry that was after them, it was tanks, and they were just light infantry against tanks. And he said, I lost every friend I had. So there wasn't even enough people left to carry the company colors in a lot of the companies. And so when that lightning would take place, and then the boom, lightning, boom, what was Dad reliving? Artillery flashes, tank guns booming. I didn't know it. They would definitely classify that as PTSD today. That was called shell shock back in those days. And I wish to God that I would have understood what was wrong with him. But the whole point is that I caught that too. And then you go through some military time, and anything that's a bright flash and then boom is not associated with good when you're in the military. That'd be bad. And so to this day, I lie there, and I started to get in the closet, and I thought, no, it's not that bad. The wind was whistling. They had a little weather warning thing on my phone. Wind's 50 miles plus in your area. And it's like, do I get in the closet? By the way, if anything ever happens, you can't get a hold of me, and you know there's been a big storm, please come looking for me, and come look in my closet. Because that's where I'm going to go, back on that east side, and pull all the clothes down on top of me, right, for cushion. And I keep a bottle of water in there, stuff like that. So that's, please come get me, that's where I'll be. But anyway, the point being, we all have something like that, and I was lying there, and then God just said, and this will give you a little more emotion, emphasis in the message. Because storms, they don't scare me, but I can't rest. And I find myself very nervous, just jittery. The next morning when I wake up, when there's been a storm at night, I'm just not myself. I wasn't myself this morning. I fixed one of my shakes and put all that green stuff in there. That green slime will slow you. It'll get you calmed down. And so that helped. The whole point here is this. We all have certain things that kind of take us to the edge. If you wonder why God hasn't taken your certain thing away yet, taking you to the edge helps you get rid of yourself. It helps you die to yourself. It helps you to stop being so dependent on you and others, and it helps you start depending on Christ. There's got to be some water in your boat from time to time to remind you that you don't want to depend on anything made on this earth, and don't depend on self, but that you have to believe in Christ, and he's not going to let you drown out there. He's in your boat. And so when stuff starts happening in your life that you don't understand, don't think you made a mistake. When you're doing what God says in his word, you maybe go to witness to somebody, you're trying to share something, or you just want to go and pray with them, and they're not well, and it's not well received, and there's water coming in your boat, and you get chastised, or they make some rude remarks towards you. Friends, before you panic and say, you know, what, did I make a mistake? Did I miss your call? And God is saying, no. I want to bless you more in life. I'm going to bless you for doing this. They obeyed him. They were in the boat. So did you. And there's going to be times you make that phone call, somebody's really nasty to you. And you think, man, I shouldn't have done that. I've said that many times in my work. Yeah, I've made calls and people. And it's like, and I used to get so upset over it. And finally, you know, you have to learn through these kind of things here. You could do everything that's right, but sometimes the storm's going to be there and the waves are going to come in the boat. And it's going to empty you out of yourself and say, and why am I so upset? They hurt my feelings. And Jesus said, they do it to the least of you. They did it to me also. It wasn't you that was doing it to you. It was me. You're my vessel. And though they said it to you, they're saying it to me. If they reject you, my servant, they're rejecting me. Does that make you feel better? That's why things happen in life. That's why we go through what we go through. It just seemed simple. We're all across. They just didn't see what was coming, neither do we. Secondly, obedience to Christ puts you right in it. If you're going to obey Jesus, you're going to find yourself right in the middle of it, whatever it may be, and a bunch of its in life. You're going to find yourself in the middle of people trying to bring peace. You'll find yourself trying to calm people down, counsel people. You'll find yourself in the middle of it when you obey Christ. We're here to do God's will. We pray, we believe, we do our best. And then the storms come and we say, what did I miss? What did I misunderstand? By the way, just take note of this and you see how it applies to your life. It wasn't the storm that was the problem. It was the waves coming in the boat. You say, what does that mean to me? The devil is going to make a lot of noise like a roaring lion. And he's going to try to herd you and scare you and push you into doing really not smart things. It's not the lightning and the thunder. It's the hail falling and the waves coming in. But be careful and don't start running from noises in the dark of your life. That enemy roars and he tries to frighten you into making bad decisions. Be careful. It's not the storms that we have to worry about. Yeah, when the waves come in, and even when they do, remember, he's right here. He's right here. Christ within me, my hope of glory. You know what's also rough in life? It's not just your storms. It's when God puts you in the middle of it and you have to deal with other people's storms. Christianity is helping other people face their storms. And that puts you right in the middle of it, and it puts you in the boat with them. And many, many Christians, that's why they like to go to these feel-good places, and they come out, and they're on their own little world, and they never get involved. Christianity is getting involved with other people facing their storms, because you've been through yours countless times, and you know what it takes to ride out the storm. And you know what people need to hear. Jesus is in the boat. And people lose their faith, or they have such small faith, and they get discouraged, and they get upset. And friends, our human nature says, I'm going to stay out of this. I'm not going to get, No, Jesus says, no. How are people going to be saved? How are they going to be healed? You get in the dadgum boat with them, and you teach them that Christ is here in this boat, and he's not going to let you sink with it. But I have to get wet to do that. I have to get tossed around to do that. I have to face my own fears and shortcomings to do that. And I have to admit, as being a human, I don't want to get in that boat. And Jesus is saying, that's what Christianity is all about, is getting in the boat. You read a simple thing like this, there's so much in it. So much practical application. Now I've said to myself, and we all do many times, this isn't supposed to happen if I'm in God's will. Really? Life's all about boats and water coming in. It's about walking on water too. You may not physically walk on it, but friends, there's some things you need to start walking on. walking over and walking past. We'll have that in another message. In the midst of storms, the devil's using that too. He's using what God allows. And he wants you to doubt. He wants you to panic. He wants you to be discouraged. And he wants you to quit. That's why the title of this message is Keep Going. The devil will use or try to turn against you what God is using to bring good in your life. The enemy will try to make you doubt, fear, give up, lose your faith in God. He tempts you to think you blew it, you're not good enough, you've sinned, this is all happening because of whatever, ever in my life. He tries to confuse you. You know how he does it? He'll do it through people and their comments and their doubts and their fears. He does it through anxiety over circumstances. He throws at you any doubt, any fear, anything that he can, and he knows your weak points. Don't let him in. You stand on that old rugged cross. You stand in your faith in Jesus. And you say, Jesus Christ knows I'm afraid. Jesus Christ knows I'm depressed. Jesus Christ knows what's going on with me. He knows my heart. He knows every heartbeat. He knows every thought, every feeling, every emotion. He knows I want out of this boat so bad I can't stand it. But he put me in this boat, and God help me, I'm going to stay in this boat. I'm going to keep going because Christ is with me, and I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. You have to overcome it through the Word, through the Spirit, through your faith in Christ. Jesus is in your heart. Your body is His temple. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't you realize that these storms of life are part of walking on the straight and narrow path? You entered in at the narrow gate through your faith in Jesus Christ. What did you think would happen on the path? Did you not think the enemy would try to give you an alternate path? Scare you, freak you into running? One of the big things we used to have to learn, you can identify this, when you're training, is don't let panic get the best of you. Because if one person panic, fear is contagious. So I had to learn real early, and it sure wasn't fun, that somebody's got to be willing to do the walking around and encouraging and assuring and giving direction, because we're not going to let people panic and die out here. We're going to get out of this. That's the way Christianity is. What's my position here? It's never changed. I wear a different uniform than what I used to wear. I'm doing the same job. I'm here to give you encouragement, coach you, equip you, teach you, and most of all, keep you from panicking when the enemy comes at you and the storms of life try to fill up your boat. You've got to have a pastor who's willing to stand and say, Christ is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And you got to look at my life and say, well, if he can do it, I can do it. That's what it's all about. It's constant leadership. And where you are, it's the same thing. People need your leadership in Christ. You've got to lead them to the Lord Jesus and lead them in their faith and show them by example, I will not fall. I may stumble, but he catches me. Said, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your dwelling, He will send His angels, right? To lift you up in their hand. They will protect you. No evil will come near your home. And they will lift you up in their hands that you don't even, strike your foot on a stone. Do you believe those passages? They're real. Well, got to close. So let me close this last point. Obedience to Christ means you have to keep going. Let me share this with you. You have to learn it the hard way. You do not have to succeed, but you dang sure have to try. You don't have to win, but you must, in obedience to Christ, fight. Whether I win or not is up to the Lord. Whether I can finish the race is up to God, but I dang sure have to put on my shoes and run in it. There's too many Christians sitting out there on the sidelines wanting to cheer others on. Watch them do the work. In many churches, you know what people say? I've had it said to me when I was in different places. That's what we pay you for. That's what we have staff for. That's why we pay you people. You're the ones supposed to do this work. We're the ones to equip you, right? That's what the scripture says. For the equipping of the saints, pastors and apostles and all, pastors and teachers, they're here for the equipping of the saints. That's you, for the work of the ministry. Who are the ministers of this church? You are. I'm just an equipper. Teacher, encourager, coach. The work of the church is always going to be done by the people in the church. And today, Christianity, I don't know. Everybody wants to go in and be entertained. Nobody wants to do anything. That's what we pay all of them for. Yeah, right. Well, tell God that on the day when you meet him. He's going to say, let me see here. Depart from me. I never knew you. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be ugly. He will. I never knew you. You see, faith without works is dead. So friends, you're going to have to get with it. Obedience to Christ means you have to keep going. When God tells you to get in the boat, get in it. And you keep going, no matter what. And you tell yourself, you know what? I don't have to succeed, but I sure have to try. I don't have to win, but I got to fight. And I keep fighting, and I keep fighting. I don't even have to get to the other side. I just do what he told me to do, get in the boat and go. I'll worry about where he lands me. Friends, we get so caught up, don't you? You get so caught up in your destination. That's the end of it. Why don't you really get into the journey? And by the way, why don't you enjoy some of it too? You start having a sense of humor about things. You know, when some of the waves come in, you say, well, at least I'm getting a free bath. Nature's bath. Storms terrify us. They oppose us. They try to discourage us. And yet God uses these storms to teach us he's bigger than the storm. And whatever you're facing now, whatever you ever will face, you remember these words. God is bigger than your storm, and Jesus is in your boat. And he's going to stand up and say, peace, quiet, be still. And by the way, he may not be saying that just to the waves. Sometimes he has to say it to you and me. Peace, be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. Sometimes he's saying, if you quit yelling so much, you can hear my voice. Quit freaking out. I'm here. He's going to tell you, peace, be still. The devil will be defeated. The storm will be stopped. And Jesus, the captain of the ship, will lead you to the other side, and he'll fulfill his will in your life. Now, these closing words from the Lord. Jesus has saved you. He will continue to save you. He has delivered you. He'll continue to deliver you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Peace. Be still. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power. Now take it and make a change in us through it. Change us to your honor and glory. Change us to be who you want us to be, doing what you want us to do. And Lord, everything we're worried about and all these storms of life, you got them. You got them. You're saying all the time, I got this. I got it. Just pray, humble yourselves and pray. I'll heal your land. Wow. You got it. Peace, be still. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you.